Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. We've got a great show tonight. I've got a few announcements I need to get out of the way before we get started. We're continuing to having great viewings this week, and the next two weekends in July are Skywatch weekends. So if you want to come up and check out the ships and what's going on here and have an experience, an enlightening experience, these are the weekends to do it. If you want to check out what's been happening here, we are posting things up on the eSETI Stargate page. And so it's the official channel on YouTube. Just go to eSETI Stargate, the official channel, and you'll be able to see some of the footage of power-ups of multiple ships in each frame. Sometimes we have five ships in a frame, you know, of these ships flying in. So it's busy. There's a lot going on. It's very intense right now. We can probably get into that later. On July 28th, I'll be at the UFO Fest in Yelm. I'll be speaking and then doing a Skywatch on Friday night before returning to the ranch on Saturday. There's a great lineup of speakers. Go to esetievents.com for the link to the Yelm event if you'll find out more about the Yelm event. But that should be I've done a lot of work in Yelm, and we've had some amazing experiences there. And we also have an immediate opening for an on-site volunteer who's really skilled at Word and Excel and is comfortable camping and would like to spend 3 or 4 months at eSETI this summer assisting Ashley in administration and guest relations. So send an email to esetivolunteers@gmail.com if you want to know more about this role. We definitely need some people that are adept at some computer work and things like that, because there's so much going on here. It's just hard to keep up on it. And speaking of things going on, the Sun and the Mars are lined up, and the Sun is firing one CMA or flare after another. And so, you know, you have to expect a lot of people wigging out, you know, and a lot of emotional outbursts and people in process on every level, you know, even the physical. People are going to be going through physical body changes and things like that. So the shift's hitting the fan big time. You know, there's no getting away from it. And we need to just try to be kind with each other, you know, be a little forgiving, release the past. And when things come up, own it, you know, track it back to its source. You know, if the feelings are coming up, own them. We don't, you know, they had, Stanford University exposed monkeys to these flares and fluctuations in the magnetic fields. And they exhibited behavior, everything from comatose to self-mutilation and you know, fighting and tearing each other apart, basically. So we don't have to behave like monkeys. You know, this is a warring energy that's coming in. We can slip into war very easily. There is a trans-dimensional war going on. There is a war between the white hats and the cabal and the powers that were. And it's really coming to a head right now. And luckily, you know, these energies are just going to push it over the edge. So, you know, basically, if you go look up the timeline, they've already lost. It's over. I don't even know why they continue, but just hang in there. We're going to get through these times, and we just have to be frequency specific to the Earth and where she's evolving to, and we'll get through it. So on that note, I want to get into our guest tonight. We're going to talk a lot about what's happening, you know, in the, you know, fuelless energy, free energy, whatever you want to call it. Everybody has a different name for it. And we've got Joel Garbin, who's going to come on, and he's a scientist and inventor of several commercially successful technologies used in various industries. He's a co-author with investigative journalist Gene Manning of the award-winning book Breakthrough Power and How Quantum Leap New Energy Inventions Can Transform Our World. So for 11 years, Joel served as president of the nonprofit New Energy Movement. And Joel's been a great friend of eSETI. He comes up here on a regular basis, and we always love to see his smiling face. And we have Susan Manowich, which is the president of the New Energy Movement. I think Joel passed the torch to her. And she's got 20-plus years of experience in leadership, consulting, resonant technologies, and consciousness studies. She's co-authoring a book called Hidden Power with Gene Manning that will be released in late fall of 2017. She also has a book she is contributing to with a team of scientists and authors, which will be released in January of 2018. Titled Beyond UFOs, The Science of Non-Human Contact. So anyway, without any further ado, I want to welcome to the show. They're both sharing a Skype line here, so welcome to the show.
Hey, James. Thanks for having us on. It's great to be back.
Thank you, James. Look forward to having a lovely conversation with you this evening.
Great. Yeah, there's so many breakthroughs happening and things going on. And I know certain things we can't talk about right now. It's not timing yet, but we can talk about it, you know, in a broader perspective, I believe. So why don't we go ahead? We'll honor the women first here and bring Susan on. And Susan, maybe you can tell us on some of the things that you've been working on or some of your experiences. And hey, you can even talk about all the ships you've seen since you've been here. But, you know, whatever works, whatever you want to talk about or whatever you can talk about, we'd love to hear it.
All right. That sounds fantastic. Well, since you know, you opened the bag a bit on the activity, I would like to comment on it because I've spent a couple of days here at the ranch and it has exponentially increased with the different sightings. Last night was by far, you know, the most sightings, probably 20 within an hour, which I have to say is a record for me. And we had a bunch of kids here as well at the ranch, which is so sweet to see their beautiful energy and how open they are and their wonderful families, you know, that they're all participating together, which has been really sweet. But to, you know, for me, one of the things that I really enjoyed was seeing the ships move in unison. So we've got the power-ups that happened, which were just, you know, I mean, you can't help but let out a scream when you see the power-ups like, woo!
Yeah.
And because you know, it's an intelligence that is doing that. That's something that's, you know, part of our infinite self. And, you know, it triggers something so deep and positively primal within us. So that was just, you know, really amazing to see that. But for me, that was the first time I saw multiple ships flying in unison with one another. And as I was describing it to somebody here at the ranch, it was that complete coherency that was emanated that you just see this what I would call, you know, amazing teamwork that's happening on this, you know, this greater level that, you know, here I am in this physical body on Earth and I just look up in the sky and I see this. And there's a peace that one feels when they're seeing this as well. So yeah, it's very, very active. And so that would be one of the first things that I'd comment on. And Joel just got here today. So I'm hoping Joel sees quite a bit tonight as well.
I'm having a great time just relaxing in the field, James. You definitely have the A1 view.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know how close up you feel to Mount Adams being at James's ranch, you gotta come and taste it.
Hey Joel, have you taken a peek at that new door that's opened up yet? I don't know if you've seen that.
When I was up here the 4th of July weekend on the tail of your conference, there was a gentleman, Gary, here who had a great pair of binoculars zooming in on that little portion near the kind of the second smaller peak there in what looked like a really steep, rocky, maybe granite face and a bit shadowed. And to my eye, it looked like there was an arch in there. And then he showed me the computer rendering that he had done of some of the digital photos he took. And you definitely can see a rectangle inside that arch. And to me, those look like military blast doors that would open and close vertically. And you know, who knows who put them in or whatever, but that's the impression I got. It certainly wasn't something I was expecting. I thought it would be easy to dismiss it as shadows and this kind of thing, but there definitely is a rectangular structure inside an arched structure to my eye anyway.
Mm. Yeah. Now there's two more doors that have opened up since then. There's another door to the left of the larger door. It's more of a circular cave, it looks like, and then to the right of it another one opened up. So there's some major geological activity up there that's forming squares and circles and things like that. But I know Jason Quitt took some photographs and you could actually see faces carved around that. He got some great photographs, and I go, where'd you get that picture? And he said this was on the left side. Now I have photographs of the other cave that we have ships coming out of that we filmed, and the same thing. It has faces carved all the way around it and what looks to be like a Buddha in front of it.
Oh, One of the interesting things that Gary had mentioned to me as he was showing me his computer renderings, he said when he tried to zoom in on that area on Google Earth, that was all pixelated, and you could not get any type of distinguishing feature looking at that particular area. So that's kind of curious. So clearly there are others who are aware of this, who are pushing the buttons and pulling the strings.
Yeah, blocking that.
Maybe we need to say, to add when we say the veils are thinning, that we say the veils are thinning and the doors are opening.
Yeah, exactly. I think we're getting really close to just total, a big reunion, you know, with the inner earth beings, the Galactic Federation, all of them. We're very close to you know, the big reunion, and that's what it's feeling like. Getting back to, I wanted to talk a little bit about with Susan, some of the stuff that I'm just going to let you go ahead and talk about whatever you can talk about, or some of the, you know, you can be vague about it, but I'd love to hear about what's happening on that front. And are there some amazing new technologies coming out that may be released shortly?
Sure. So I just got back with Gene Manning, who I'm co-authoring a book with, that Joel has already co-authored a book with. We gave a talk at the Energy Science and Technology Conference in Hayden, Idaho, which I believe was initially started by the late John Bedini, who had passed away this past year, and Dr. Peter Lindemann as well. And the conference, you know, it was my first time there, and I didn't really know what to expect. I knew I had some information moving through me that was important to be able to have expressed at this conference. And Gene and I, again, did this disjoint presentation together. It was really on strategy and communication to try to help the inventors and the scientists and the engineers that primarily attend this conference to, you know, get a better handle on maybe what's going on right now as it relates to media, because that's important. So the strategy and communication incorporates part of media. Alternative media has jumped, as you know, James, like quadruple fold recently, where you have more people that are paying attention to alternative media than ever before. And what that's doing is it's forcing mainstream media, and it's also forcing, you know, mainstream academia and other mainstream organizations to actually pay attention to things that they would probably never normally pay attention to before. So you're seeing alternative media really, you know, shape and shift some of the things that are going on in these traditional structures. So, you know, that was the basis of the talk. And, you know, the reason why I'm sharing that with you is because what we found was a great number of people were very interested in what we were discussing. Because right now, scientists, engineers, inventors, you know, the term free energy is not so uncommon anymore, where it used to be considered, you know, something that's on the fringe. People are now beginning to understand that, not only maybe this is real, but maybe this is our universal right to be able to have this as part of a you know, struggling society, that this may be, in fact, where some of our answers lie, with the proper consciousness connected to it. One of the other things that came out of the conference that was really a big surprise is this is really quite a heavy science conference and quite a heavy engineering conference, where you have inventors that actually bring their devices, they show them running, they explain how they're running, they explain some of the components, pieces, and parts. So it's really a show and tell of the different devices. And Gene and I were on the panel discussion at the end of the conference. And I'm laughing here for a minute because, again, this is a pretty heavy, heavy science conference. And what most of the inventors were talking about at the end of the conference on this panel talk is emotion, love, consciousness, and intention relating to how the materials that they use behave with the field and how they're finding some of these results. So you know, what am I basically saying is the gist of it is, you know, we're now really seeing where the emergence of consciousness and technology is actually, you know, becoming manifest. So, you know, maybe why some of these devices had come out previously, you know, we talk about the consciousness not being there. Well, you know, the consciousness of the inventor, the consciousness of the financer who's looking to support this, the team of people that are around or not around, you know, all of these energies, all of this feeling and information and intention does relate to what not only is produced, but how potentially it can come out. So you could have knocked me down with a feather when the guys on the panel wanted to talk about that. They actually wanted to talk about emotional intelligence, which, you know, I spent, you know, 15 years in working, as you guys know, with major academic institutions on this. And Paul Babcock, quote unquote, said, I kind of want to imitate him. He's a very interesting man. He's an inventor. And he said, you know, I don't let anybody come near me unless they have read the book Emotional Intelligence. And if they start to behave badly, I send them with the book and I tell them, don't come back unless you've read this.
Wow.
Exactly.
That's powerful.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know it's important. You know, it's important. Joel knows it's important. But the thing is when you've got people that are now publicly saying that, that actually have been working on this a long time, and now they're collectively saying it, we're on to something different.
Mm. I know with some of the technologies that I've been privy to that are just amazing. You know, the inventor that I was working with, I won't mention his name, but he would bring people in and he would show them the technology. He would take it all apart, put it back together, run it, you know, tremendous amount of energy coming from these technologies. And he'd say, you know, if you can figure it out, it's yours. I'll give it to you. And we're talking, you know, Walter Rosenthal was there, who's a rocket scientist. All these guys were there and other people, you know, were there too as well. And they couldn't figure it out. And I had to sit with these guys as they played with the machine, tested it, tried to figure it out. We hooked everything you could imagine onto this thing. We took all these power strips and hooked big drill presses, 500-watt lights. We tried to kill this little device, and we couldn't, you know. It didn't even phase it. But, you know, seeing things like that, that the technology, the inventors I talked to said, you know, this science comes to you. You're not going to get it out of the books. You're not going to get it, you know, through academia. They said it's more of a enlightenment thing. It's more of an evolutionary thing. If you're not evolved, you're not even going to have a clue as to what, you know, how this technology works.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think about it this way is when you meditate, you know, you can meditate on your own, or you can get a teacher, or you can, you know, call in certain beings to help with your meditation, you know, whatever practice that you have, but there is a spiritual component. And what do we call that? We call it, you know, tuning in or tapping in, right? Uh-huh. And so if one is trying to tap into the ether to extract energy, then that has to be of a divine divine way as well. And, you know, I think that has been the missing component that we you know, and that's the fault, so to speak, of science being so, you know, divisive and not being holistic. You know, the trend in Western science is everything is broken up into parts and pieces and it doesn't look at the whole, you know, and this is one area that you can't break up the parts and pieces. You can't do that. That doesn't work. And if anything, you know, this is more important to be able to have now. It's not just one person with the spiritual connection. You know, we're talking the team to have this spiritual connection and to be good in their hearts and to be good in their minds and to have their intention be focused on that for humanity. And if the sole, you know, purpose is for money or finances, I can tell you story after story right now that, you know, that the team of inventors, they've got something, they're working on it. And then the money person comes in or the legal team comes in and they're not resonant, things fall apart. It pops, it falls apart. So you know, that story is over and over and over, and there's reasons for it. So, you know, sometimes I think the universe put a beautiful safety mechanism in place that says, no, you know, if you want these things to come out, you all have to really behave yourselves.
Yeah, I think I've been feeling too, the timing, it definitely, you know, is not right. That, you know, we have to become balanced. I know the divine feminine has to come in and get rid of this old patriarchal program, and the greed and the serving self program has to come to a close. And it doesn't have to come to close for everybody, just for enough people to where we can bring in these energies. And I'm seeing over and over is once we establish, you know, unity consciousness here, it's not going to be a problem at all, because everybody's going to be in the right mindset and things are going to just explode, and that seems to be where we're going. Joel, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, definitely. You know, when Jean Manning published her first book about new energy technologies, it was called The Coming Energy Revolution. That was back in 1998, and she was predicting that by the year 2000, we would see the advent of some of these new energy technologies introduced into the marketplace. When our book, Breakthrough Power, came out in 2008, of course, that had not yet happened. And we made some new predictions that, you know, it was going to be out probably within about 5 years. That did not happen. And here we are now, you know, 2017, and there's quite a bit of frustration in our ranks here, those who have been doing this research and advocacy for a long time. And, you know, we haven't well understood why the gap between these technologies being verified, which has happened, and then being introduced to the market. Susan touched on a few things here that definitely are corroborations of my own direct experience. I took quite a bit of time over this past year and a half working with two different inventors very, very closely, who both have technologies that are real. They've been third-party verified, and where I felt like the inventors were reasonable from the standpoint of having what it takes to work with a team. There's just no way you can carry a technology forward from the concept stage and into the market successfully with a team that does not contain people that have competencies in a lot of different disciplines. An inventor can't possibly hope to have a success if he does not have such a team. I felt that each of these inventors understood that. In both cases, I brought to them the most incredible finance and manufacturing capital resource that I've ever met, because the particular individual is very well grounded in his own, you know, spiritual foundation, very high integrity, is able to make bold moves very rapidly, has his own infrastructure to build something, and he's totally open to the fact that there are technologies that exist that are very high density, very potent energy technologies. And in both cases, when I made the introduction to the inventor, you could see the distortion starting to happen in the inventor's personality, where suddenly, where before it was, well, this is going to be my gift to the world, and, you know, this is going to be amazing, and there's so many good things that are going to come out of this. It suddenly became very self-centered, very focused on money, so many outrages of just personality distortion. Mm-hmm. It was really shocking to me. And I learned something from that. And that is part of what you said, James. There's a natural timing that needs to come about where people are ready and prepared, where they let go of these ego stakes And in my own case, I'm observing that there's actually a purity that's required. It's not an intelligence. I mean, we could talk about emotional intelligence, and you could talk about intellectual intelligence and spiritual intelligence and social intelligence. All these things, you know, are required. But I'm convinced that there is a purity of heart that is part of this puzzle. And I'm getting a total goosebump rise on this, because I know this was my primary message tonight. The inventors who have some really great working technology who don't understand that this is a gift that's been given to them so that they can bequeath the gift to others, they're never going to be successful with it. And when they don't recognize, even when there's been a team that has been gifted to them who has the competencies to move it forward, without being able to recognize that, it's a hopeless situation for them. So when you say someone like Paul Babcock, who's held in very high regard in the new energy research community, you know, have this you know, statement that you said he made, Susan, about, hey, you know, you got to have red emotional intelligence or just don't waste my time. To me, that's highly encouraging. It's not going to happen unless people realize that if they are authentically called to serve in this field, they have to show up, leave the ego at the door, and just be willing to play their role. And don't care about who gets credit for it. Don't care about who gets paid, all that kind of thing. You just show up and trust that if everyone shows up, plays their role the way they should, this is going to move. And it will happen eventually. I'm kind of like giving up on making projections of when, because I've been pretty humiliated by being off by so many. But anyway, that is my take on it. And, you know, I still remain hopeful. And, you know, I feel very, very good that in the case of the New Energy Movement, which is the organization that was founded back in 2003, I had the privilege to serve as the president of that for 11 years. After quite a search and waiting patiently for the right person to show up, Susan showed up. And she's got the right stuff. And it's just been a delight to see how she's totally launched into this role. And it's been nice to watch from the sidelines a bit and see how she orchestrates things through her approach and with her feminine intelligences, which is a something that was very, very much out of balance in this field. And then to hear that, you know, Susan and Gene Manning are teaming up. That, I mean, you got a lot of power there, a lot of feminine power, and the timing is right. So I feel that's what I'm congratulating myself most on is having selected a good candidate to pass the baton to. So,
and I just want to say something. You know, a lot of people know this story that know me. Joel had asked me to do this when my dad was in the hospital for a very long time with pancreatic cancer. And I'll never forget, I was sitting in the car outside of my niece's apartment in Cambridge, Massachusetts, just coming back in from the hospital. My dad was in there for a very, very long time. And I remember thinking how exhausted I was from being in the hospital for really those many months. And Joel is basically asking if I'm going to, you know, if I would take on this role. And my logical mind said, are you freaking crazy? And my intuition was very, very, it was like seeing a little teeny bright light and said, you say yes. And I remember saying yes as the words came out of my mouth. And again, my mind was going, oh my God, I'm crazy. What did I just agree to? And I remember having a flood of anxiety come over because I'm thinking, you know, I don't agree to do something unless I can do it. Part of the Virgo nature.
And then you heard very loud clapping on the other end of the phone.
Yes, I did.
All right.
And then I heard clapping. But it was, you know, it was truly, it was one of those moments where you know, intuition and listening to my higher self, you know, it needed to say yes. And as Joel and I, you know, have now been able to see each other in person, we talk a bit on the phone, but you know, there's nothing better than seeing somebody in person. And you know, there's been a lot of amazing activity and a lot of synchronicity that has come together in these many months. And you know what, James, I can't help but think that all of the massive activity that has been going on in the skies, and I'm friends with a lot of contactees from all over the globe. And, you know, really in these last couple of months, they are seeing things in the sky quite a bit. And I can't, again, I can't help but think that, you know, yeah, we're getting assistance. And at the same time, it's up to the person on the ground to hear, you know, what's being said and communicated, because so much has really moved based on synchronicity with some of these massive advancements, you know, in these many months. And listening to that is absolutely key. And you know what, Joel, it relates to that pure heart. If you do have that pure heart, the information is going to come in faster, and you're going to know what you need to do, who you need to do it with, and what you need to do. Can I just repeat well the place? I think I said that. So, yeah. Yes, it's like this leap is really happening. It's leapfrogging. And we talked about that at the conference. You know, there's no room anymore for logic ABC 1, 2, 3. It's either the relationship clicks or it doesn't. The timing clicks or it doesn't. It's not confusing anymore. It's kind of loud. So, you know, a lot of us, and I polled the audience, I asked them to raise their hand. I said, how many of you are having synchronicities happen, which is leading you to do, you know, one thing or the other? And about 65 to 70% of the people raised their hand. And that's a 99% male audience that's there that are, again, very techie. So if we're having that much synchronicity occur, you know, something significant is going
definitely.
On.
Definitely. Now, I wanted to go into another subject here a little bit, but I know it's kind of, you know, you have to view it with loving detachment, just a little disclaimer. But I know that there is a lot of people in the free energy movement, or, you know, fearless, whatever you want to call it, that are really not who they say they are. And I know from personal experience and working with people that do have the technology in dealing with these people, and, you know, there's people going around and saying, you know, that they have all the connections and they can make these things happen and this and that. And then they demand 51% of the technology. And obviously that's not going to fly. And you wonder, why are they demanding the controlling interest in the technology? I think that's pretty arrogant myself, you know, to even make a demand like that. But you know, for demanding control of the technology, and that I've seen that over and over again, it gets into those dynamics. And there are people I know that have actually demonstrated their technology to people that have $1 million, you know, bounties for free energy. And they've proven it, you know, that they had way over free energy, you know, and things like that. And then they end up having their labs blown up and their technologies where they tried to steal them. And it's really sad that it's happened. And I just see that world or those groups right now are being exposed for who they are. And they've siphoned all this money out of the field, and they've taken away from the people that are legit and the people that really are, do have their hearts in the right place, that are trying. And are you noticing a shift? What I'm seeing is I'm noticing a shift between these people are being really exposed, their karma's coming home to roost. And now I think we're right on the forefront of the energy, the funds, everything shifting to the people who are legit, who are really there for the highest and best good of humanity, Earth, and are more service oriented.
Well, I think that there is some of this exposure you're talking about that's making people aware that there are those who will go to most any ends to keep their foot on the neck of this whole movement. Mm-hmm. And that is going to come to an end, but it's going to continue to be a struggle as long as people are trying to do it along conventional means where you can be controlled by money. And that's the world we've been living in for a long time. And the vast majority of the populace still buys into that. It's the root of business is still the worship of money. And until that changes, it's still going to be, much too easy to manipulate this whole field by pushing the trigger of the old need or the old feeling that you want to be the Bill Gates of free energy. And we've heard that story way too many times. But having a change of mind about how this actually gets distributed to the public from the standard business model that's based on the patenting and licensing and the royalties and all the financial control mechanisms that allow you to install gates at various places to dam up the flow. Well, going to an open source model where the technology is gifted to the public directly, without there being the need for royalties on the part of the inventor, at least from the standpoint of if a household wants to build one of these devices, that it's royalty free. If someone maybe is a commercial enterprise that could afford to pay a royalty, well, I think that's reasonable. Mm-hmm. But the idea behind open sourcing is rapid proliferation of the technology, so you can't simply cut off a single head, namely the inventors, and stomp out this very promising flower from blooming into existence. So I'm a big fan of the open source model. I think the inventors who have increasingly come on board with that concept, I think their hearts are in the right places because they realize that this has been gifted to them and it's their prerogative to gift it to the public as well. And I would venture to bet that any technology that really shows the right stuff, saves people money, cleans up the planet, there's going to be millions and millions of people who are grateful for that contribution, especially a generous, pure-hearted contribution. And they'll want to give something back to the inventor and to the team that helped them bring it to market. And I think that is going to be the way that the fair exchange is made, that people basically make a love offering to the inventor team and say, hey, I appreciate what you did. Now I'm going to materially support you because, you're a hero of the planet and you did it the right way. And I think that would be a beautiful way to do a complete end run around the conventional business model where there's so many throttle points where you can keep the foot on the neck of the whole machine. So that's my view on that.
I think that the people that are putting the foot on the neck are actually imploding right now, and then pretty soon they won't be around, and they're totally losing their control on all this. And I think it's and actually I'll make a prediction. I think you're going to see that before November, is done, that this stuff is going to come out, and it's going to be huge because I just know certain things that are happening right now that are actually putting an end to their program. The cabal, the banksters, all that stuff is about ready to just implode on them. And once that is done, and it's going to be done very shortly, once that's done, I mean, all this stuff is just going to bust wide open.
Who wants to play in the sandbox with somebody that wants to steal most of your toys? I mean, it's just becoming unpopular because that's not the energy to move into this new way. And, many, many, I can't say everybody, but many, many people realize it's changing because they've had that internal shift within themselves. And, one of the things is, I just want to address this because this did come up at the conference is, there is still a predominant amount of fear on behalf of these variety of inventors, not all, and not some of the names that we've mentioned on here, but there's this there's a lot of fear that's still there. And because of that, you know, just really taking a moment to talk about emotions impacting your thinking, when somebody is coming from a fear standpoint, there's a tendency to take less than what you know you really deserve, right? So yeah, there's a little bit of the bended knee situation going on. And so, you know, the part of the talk was really letting these inventors know that, you know, who do you want to control your narrative? Who do you really want to control your story? You know, find out where that money's coming from. What is it your legacy that you want to leave on this planet? And you know, and here's where the yin comes in. It's not just male or female. The yin is in men too. It's just making it more explicit. But you know, the decision that you're making, how does that impact seven generations out? Which, you know, the indigenous community do wonderfully. That's something that's incorporated in, you know, in true indigenous communities. So, you know, asking all those questions and having that be so those knees are strong and that yeah, people are not even having to entertain a conversation of 51%, because there's something that's not right about that, as this technology is, you know, Joel said it, it's this gift that comes through. And the research that, you know, Gene and I are finding is that, you know, many of these inventors have this divine information that comes in. It's not, they're, you know, many of them are not replicators. Many of them are true genius inventors that have had information come to through them, you know, through meditation or synchronicity. You know, it's come from some non-traditional place of knowing and intelligence. So who wants to be, again, on bended knee with that? So to not even be in that room entertaining that conversation, you know, and that gives a different level of strength here, which is really important, because yeah, this community has been badgered, marginalized. And I think probably one of the hardest things is to deal with what Joel had mentioned earlier is, you know, like I hear people that are very interested in new energy tech say, well, what's really real here? And when is this coming out? You know, like, well, hold on a second. We're talking about something so profound, and I think people really feel it. They feel it and they know that it's something profound, and something that profound should come out in the most honorable, most respectful, and most gracious way possible.
And, you know, I don't think that is, I think we're coming to that point where we are getting, you know, the critical point where, it, you know, it's going to shift where we have enough people that are aligned with that kind of energy. But that's what I've always felt like before, is that, you know, until we're closer to unity consciousness and enough people are on board that are self service to others, not self-serving, then it's going to flip, you know, it's going to flip and it's going to come out and it won't be stopped. And I think we're getting close to that point.
Yeah, well, I think there are definitely signs that are encouraging. I know, you know, Susan, you told me in a one-on-one conversation that there were some young people in attendance at these conferences that have traditionally been, you know, the demographic tend to be fairly middle-aged and older.
Yeah, so that's what I've seen too.
To see that there's some teenagers there, and you know, there's young blood that's taken a keen interest, and they're coming into this whole scene with a whole different perspective. You know, they're not tainted with a lot of the old models that no longer serve humanity. I think it is appropriate to recognize that much of what we need to get rid of now did serve some useful purposes of various sorts, but it tended to never result in social justice. And it did help the evolution of society. I mean, we aren't living, you know, in huts now. You know, we have amazing technology that our grandparents could not even fathom, what we take for granted now. So the models have served some useful purpose, but you know, much of this now we need to discard because it's we're bumping up against the ceiling and our heads are getting bruised badly.
Yeah, well, it's beyond its expiration date.
It really is. It really is.
That's what Mark told us here. That was pretty funny. He said, you know, these guys are totally beyond their expiration date. And that's what I'm saying. It's all about becoming frequency specific. And that old program, that old draconian grid, archon grid, whatever you want to call it, we've been under, is just being torn apart. And they were, you know, at the head of that grid, and that whole thing's coming down, and there's a whole new grid taking its place. So, you know, we could either go with the flow. You know, I always say resistance is futile. You know, it's you can't stand against these energies coming in.
Yeah, but we have to recognize when someone is drowning, and the puppeteers of the old paradigm, you know, are on the verge of drowning. Drowning people get panicky, mm-hmm. and they will even drag down with them their savior.
Oh, yeah.
Their rescuer. So mm-hmm. you have to be, you know, very cautious in how you throw the lifeline to someone who's you know, could otherwise take down the rescuer.
Everything.
Now,
yeah.
I'm not one who thinks that the proper way of addressing the grievances is to just turn the tables on people who have been the source of great offense to the whole human race. I'm not one who thinks that you be vindictive. I think that part of the new way is heavily seasoned with grace. Mm-hmm. Which means that forgiveness of the grievances is the highest way to do this.
Yeah.
And if we can embrace that, I know it's hard to do because so many of us have seen such ridiculous, absurd grievances, very destructive things, mm-hmm. that it feels like, you know, let's just be done with this and get rid of them. But that is just kind of like, you know, just holding up a mirror to what's gone on for so long and watch it ricochet around the room again. And we don't want that. We have to really be able to maturely look at this and try to salvage, you know, a redemption of sorts, because many of these people who've been holding things back also are privy to technology that could help us. In so many ways. I mean, we're talking here, Susan and I, about, you know, certain inventors we've seen and technologies and this and that. But many of these technologies have been well advanced for decades, mm-hmm. and they are in very robust, usable, applicable states of engineering that we could use right now. All right. Well, you know, having a redemption scenario where these things get rolled out instead of you know, buried, you know, with the abusers, that doesn't really serve us at all. You know, I think we have to be more mature about this.
Well, I know the Anunnaki, what they're doing right now is that, you know, everybody thinks all Anunnaki are bad. That's not true. There's benevolent ones as well. And the fallen Anunnaki, they're given the option. They just said, okay, you know, redemption, you know, we'll give you a shot at redemption and rehab. But you have to do certain things. And,
sure.
and if you continue on your path, you're going to be recycled, basically.
Right.
You're done, you know. And so they're giving them that option, but the option also has some teeth in it. It's like, okay, you're done. You can't go with, you know, any harm to humanity and nature anymore. You got to stop the control programs and everything else. And if you're in line with service and you want to be rehabilitated, whether, you know, jump on board, you know, it's here, you know, we'll help you out. But they're also saying too, at the same time, if you continue on your path, you know, you will be recycled. And I think that's basically what we're having to do. And I've been right in the middle of some of this, observing it. And I'm just seeing some of these people, you cannot reason with them. There's no way to reason with these people, and there's no spark left. And you know, I might be a pessimist about this, but these other people keep trying to reason with them, and they think that, well, you know, they wouldn't do this because it would harm them too, or they have families too. They apply their logic to mm-hmm. these other people who are psychopaths, and I've had that same thing happen with me, where I just go, you know, why would they lie and steal and cheat, you know, and harm others? It doesn't make sense. But, you know, these people aren't, you know, I think some of them aren't human, for one thing. They just don't like us. And the other ones that are just, they're so far gone down the rabbit hole. I think, you know, the only thing left for them is just to be recycled. And, you know, yep. you know, and I'm always an optimist, but, you know, give them the choice, but also have some teeth in it, you know.
Well, one of the things that I would like to focus in on that to me is definitely more, you know, that I can touch my hands with. Joel can, you can, James, and you do it. You know, multi-generations, you know, one of the things that we're seeing with New Energy Movement is you've got a lot of, you know, older people that have been at this for a long time, whether they be inventors, scientists, engineers, or people that just know a whole heck of a lot. And merging them with, you know, this younger generation, because there is an enormous amount of gaps in this generational learning right now, and that needs to be bridged together. So that's one of the things that we're doing. And when you can marry a older inventor together with someone who is, you know, because they say to us, they'll say, "You can't go to school for this. Where do I learn this? I see, you know," quote unquote, from his name is Michael. He was from New Jersey. Really cool guy that came to the conference in Idaho. And he said, "You know, I see everything around me dying, and I don't get how other people don't see it. And I know that," he goes, "and if I lived in that reality, I'd be depressed." And he said, "and I just had one of my best friends kill themselves." And he says, that's not my trajectory. And he said, you can't go to school to learn this. And so, you know, the guy scraped all of his money together, got on an airplane, and, you know, camped out at this conference for a couple of days. And, you know, me and a couple of the other folks just, you know, we took this guy in. We're like, "Oh my goodness, you know, let's give you what we can to help you out." So, you know, we're talking about a huge gap in knowledge, information, and learning. And, you know, we have a responsibility to pull this together, because we don't want the information lost from some of these older inventors and scientists, and they have a lot to give.
Oh yeah.
They have a lot to give, and because the body is older certainly does not mean that it is less wise. That the information that's in that body is so wise, and this younger generation is ready to, you know, to learn as much as they can. They want to get their hands in there, and there are a series of incubator labs that are already in existence here in the United States, and we're going to have more that are popping up to be able to give these kids an opportunity, not just the kids, but even give, you know, adults an opportunity to get their hands in there, to learn some of these concepts and to see how, you know, even their consciousness is affecting the technology that they're building. So to me, that's something that's a more real doable thing. And it honors these kids that are coming in with, you know, their innate star knowledge and their star connections, and gets them more, you know, up and running at this point versus, for the lack of better words, floundering in a dying matrix system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely, that's, I mean, this whole new generation come in are just blowing my mind. And, you know, in working with them, I see where they're coming in from, you know, and some of these kids are coming in just totally plugged into like ninth dimension, right, and seventh dimensional beings. And, you know, they came in from these dimensions, and and they need to be supported and, you know, allowed, you know, and given them everything they need to excel, you know, and they're already in unity consciousness. They're in full service mode. So,
that's,
you know,
right,
there's no problem with that. But I think, you know, that's one of my goals here. You know, we're having the young master thing right now going on, and it got kind of thwarted because somebody, you know, lit a fire right on the highway and blocked us down for a week. But, you know, who knows? That was kind of ridiculous. It was a little tiny fire, and they just sat and watched it and let it burn. But you know, there's things like that, you know, they're always going on. But I do think there's it's going to go big next time, because Jimmy Church is going to be involved, several other people are going to be involved in this young master training, and next year it's going to be really big. So I'm looking forward to that, and hopefully we'll have you guys here too as well to help these young masters, you know, point them in the right direction.
Yeah, yes. That'd be fun. Really enjoy that. You know, when you know the older generation and a lot of these inventors who have special knowledge, when they're presented with the opportunity to be a mentor, it lights them up. It lights up the inventor, because he's like, now he sees a purpose, a teaching purpose that energizes him. So it's really cool.
Yeah, I agree. And it's, we have to pass on the knowledge, and then we have to be open to the new knowledge at the same time. So, you know, getting a place where they can all come together would be great. You know, we're hitting the end of the hour. So if people need to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do it?
For them to go to the New Energy Movement site, they can go to newenergymovement.org, and also our brother organization, Global BEM. We've joined forces with Global BEM, and you can go to, I think it's globalbem.com, if I'm not mistaken, and check out their work. We've got a lot of really good things going on behind the scenes. You'll see some more public front-facing information from us in about 3 months. We're just not ready to share more of that just yet. Right. But it's all beautiful, being worked out. Again, we have what I would call a very nice multi-generational approach that has just naturally come together, which is really beautiful. So it's www.newenergymovement.org and globalbem.com.
Great. And any parting words there, Joel?
Well, I would just encourage people to come up here to the East Seti Ranch. If you've never been here, it's a spectacular spot. Really is. It is a sweet, sweet place. And James has done an exceptional service in opening up his home so people can have their own experience, and let that be the guide.
All right. Thank you so much. And thank you both for coming on the show and sharing your wisdom. And we're looking forward to the breakthroughs when you're ready to bring these out. We'll definitely air them and bring this out on the air. So again, thank you so much for coming on the show, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, James. Thank you so much.
Good night.
All right, this is James Gilliland with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network, signing off. Have a great evening. Watch the skies, stay in the heart, and be kind to each other to get through these times. We are going through massive changes, a lot of energy coming in, and a lot of people in process. So, you know, just find that happy place, you know, hold your own space through these shifts, and don't get pulled off into any dramas, because they're happening all around you. Anyway, have a great evening. Good night.